Welcome to Two Beers in a Tipsy Political Roundtable. I'm Cody Lindquist.
And I'm Charlie Todd. How's everybody doing tonight?
Thank you all for coming here. We know that Brett Kavanaugh is currently speaking on Fox News, so a big competition for us. A
lot of people watching huge that right comp, now. Here in the East Village, you walk down Avenue A, every bar, they got Brett Kavanaugh on. They're watching the big interview as they get drunk. We're so excited you guys are here. We're a married couple who loves politics and loves beer.
Yep.
So we like to get together some of our friends who are a little bit smarter and a little bit funnier than us.
Right, you're really selling this show, Charlie. Watching two boring people do a panel.
These people are very, very funny and very,
very
smart.
We're like super funny, but they're like even more funny.
Exactly.
Great.
And this is a podcast too, so we, check us out on, you can listen to this episode and hear your own laughs. And listen to future episodes.
It's so sad.
Don't you think, though?
To just listen for your own laugh.
Wait, hold on. Everybody, on the count of three, just say your name really loudly. One, two, three. Now you got to listen to that podcast.
You got
to
rate and review.
Let's bring our panel out. What do you think, Cody?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's
do
it.
Let's do this shit.
First up, he is a supervising producer for Late Night with Seth Meyers. Very excited to have Henry Melcher here. Henry.
She is the co-founder and co-editor-in-chief of Reductress. Ladies and gentlemen, Beth Newell.
And up next, we have returning guest. He's a writer for the New York Times. Sopan Dev is here. With two beers in his hand. Very nice.
Yes, everybody, we are actually tipsy.
We should give a shout out to Bronx Brewery, who sponsors all of the UCB Comedy podcasts, including ours. We're going to drink some Bronx.
We got some Bronx Summer Pale Ale with lemon peel. Guess what, Bronx? It's not fucking summer anymore. Get us a fall beer.
Hey.
Right?
The free ones are from last season.
Bronx Brewery is delicious. It's great, guys. Highly recommend.
Thanks, panel, for being here on what was a pretty big news day.
It was one of those days where it was like, what? What the fuck is happening all day?
The whole thing was just a ruse at the end of the day. It was just like they were trying to trick us away from looking at Kavanaugh. Is that what this whole day was about?
So, Beth, for those of you that don't follow the news every second like we do, are you talking about the fact that they had Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein? Is it Steinerstein?
I think it's Stein.
Has the media really like settled on it?
I go with both. Like whatever I feel like that day.
Yeah, you know, that's how I like to pronounce everyone's name. I'm like, I'm just going to make up whatever the
Roz
fuck I want.
You.
I don't care what your family says. Yeah. So he showed up at the White House this morning after the New York Times, the failing New York Times, sorry, Sopan, released a story on Friday that he thought about invoking the 25th Amendment and wanted to secretly record the president. Anyway.
So?
Charlie, do you have a question
about each other
this?
All the time. Like, everyone in the White House is always recording everybody else. Right. It's not that surprising that Rod Rosenstein's time was also doing it, possibly, allegedly, reportedly.
And they talked about him like he was joking about wearing a wire. But to be clear, a wire is just an iPhone now, right?
That's right. Yeah, Omarosa's in the Situation Room just like, play.
Yeah. We're all wearing wires. Everybody's wearing a wire. It's in your pocket or your purse.
I'm recording this conversation right now as we speak.
The whole White House is just like Leak City right now. Like everyone like fills up their tank and then comes home and drains it.
But not by name, which is so interesting.
Is that a penis reference?
Yeah, it was a penis reference. It is now.
Makes sense. That also
the White
makes
House
sense.
Is also Penis City. Can I say that?
It is Penis City and Wire City.
But there is something interesting about what's going on in the White House that like, I mean like, we can talk more about Penis City. But like, everyone in the White House is leaking, and no one will do it like, oh, right, because
see,
Venus
it works
City.
Both ways, guys.
Yeah.
You can't stop thinking about
point.
A leaky dick. We'll get into a toad conversation later.
Oh, can we?
Let's let Harry make his point, please.
Oh, I don't know. It's just that, like, Penis City is leaky. No. The point is that, like, everyone is leaking all the time, but they're all doing it anonymously. Like, no one will put their name to anything they say about how insane Trump is. And it's so frustrating.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like news that it seems like it should be disqualifying if you haven't brought up the 25th Amendment if you were in the cabinet, right? I mean, But well, one thing that I want, and Sopan, not to make you defend the New York Times or speak on behalf of the New York Times.
He's going to. He's like, it's my job.
But so I was curious about, like, when I saw that story on Friday that was like, oh, no, now the Times has reported that Rosenstein's been trying to get rid of Trump and talked about invoking the 25th Amendment and wearing a wire. I was like, well, of course he has, because any sane person would bring those things up, because we have someone who's obviously incapable of being president, somebody who has a narcissistic personality disorder and is a horrible person, and then, you know, everything everybody said about him is true. His own people have leaked and said about him, so that's not a surprise. But once it gets in the news, then now Trump has to respond to it. So is it responsible journalism to not report on it so that Trump doesn't fire Rosenstein? Isn't that the more responsible thing, to just not report on the truth and hide it? So that Trump doesn't fire.
That's what
Rod
I was wondering. Like,
well, okay, so Bernstein right here. Yeah.
So I actually had a different take on the story, and just to offer like a thought exercise. To me, isn't the other way to look at the story is that Rosensteinstein thought about doing something but didn't do it. So ultimately, what's the story here, right? Isn't the to me, like, we often, especially here in the political media, like, as, and I covered the Trump campaign, and I, you know, something I thought about, well, a lot of the big shiny objects are, like, what's going on behind the scenes. But publicly, right, isn't publicly the story that he thought about using the 25th Amendment, and discussed it, but never did anything with it?
Yeah, but if you thought about the 25th Amendment, it means that you think that the president is incapable of being president, which is pretty expensive.
But if you didn't actually go through with it, then you don't think it...
Yeah, like, but if the headline was like, I think my wife is an insane person, I'm thinking about divorcing her, but at the end of the day,
wait,
I don't
what?
Divorce her, it's still
then,
pretty explosive.
Then you don't think it's that crazy, though,
it's
right?
It's pretty explosive
wait,
if it comes
Whose
out.
Whose headline is that? I don't like that headline.
I feel like so much of this stuff revolving around the president everywhere right now is like, so many men are like, have underestimated how bad men can be. Mm. And it's like, I think Rosenstein, he like came to work with the president and was like, yeah, he's bad, but can he be that bad? And then he got associated with this epic firing and like he drafted the letter for Trump and he got all this flack in the media. And now he's like, oh yeah, he's really bad now that I've personally experienced the fallout.
You know? Isn't that what you think, really, like, not to bring this back up to men, but isn't that what every man does? They underestimate the horrid nature of other men. And every woman's like, girl, yeah, I fucking would have told you that in a second. If there was, like, any woman involved in the Trump campaign, besides Kellyanne Conway, who is arguably a robot, if there were any, like, real female woman, and they would be like, no, this is going to end bad. We all dated a guy like this, and they are fucking nuts. We all thought, like, well, we can change him. No, you can't. He's a fucking monster.
Yeah, for, like, 3 years now, Republicans are like, well, you know, he's being pretty serious here. He's focusing. Like, over the weekend, it's like he's not tweeted about the Kavanaugh accusers yet. So, you know, he's really showing some restraint. And then at 6 in the morning, he tweets, you know, why didn't Ford announce this earlier? I don't know, pretty suspicious. It's like, he is who he is. And it's what Obama would say, like, the presidency only amplifies who you are, and he is a shitty person. And the presidency has shown that over and over.
But I think this idea he had about invoking the 25th Amendment is just, like, everyone around Trump right now is trying to figure out how to not invoke his wrath while still positioning themselves as being against him when this all hits the fan. Like, it's like he's creating a paper trail of, like, look, I said this in this day in this meeting. I was rational, you know? I'm not leaving the scene of the crime, but I was trying to do some good, sort of. I'm penning anonymous op-eds in the New York Times.
Yeah, so then afterwards I can be like, it was me. I'm a good person. After the whole country implodes.
I have a question about the 25th Amendment. Can it ever be used? Because if it can't be used now, like, when would it ever be used? How could the entire cabinet get together to get rid of a president without the president finding out about it and firing them? I mean, like, I just don't know, like, how could it be worse? I guess if Trump, like, murdered his wife or something, maybe they could get together
and
do it.
A lot of people have argued that he has murdered Melania. I mean, has anyone seen her, like, really? Or is it a body double? I mean, that... Guys, conspiracy theorist... I think that's a much higher likelihood that happened.
There's
than
these
Pizzagate.
Things in our government that are these like fail safes, and I think the Electoral College is one. And I hate the Electoral College, but the one thing the Electoral College should do would be to prevent an insane person from becoming president, that we should overturn the will of the voters who've been duped by fake Russian fake Facebook posts or whatever it was. But no, that didn't happen. I don't know. Like, why do we have these levers of government? Like, are we actually, do any of these things protect us from this scenario?
I think everything that's happened since 2016 has shattered the illusion that there's like any degree of control or accountability in the system. It's just like, it's a matter of like who knows the right amount of guys to pull the strings in the right places.
Well, the accountability in theory is supposed to come from voters. And it's not like Donald Trump became president by himself, right? I mean, it took 60 million people. Now, granted,
well, 3 million people who didn't matter because lost by 3 million
right.
votes.
But like, it's still like, if I told you in 2014 that Donald Trump would get 60 million people to vote.
Yeah, but
for
you know what? But I agree with that. The voters are supposed to be held accountable, right? But we have a system where the voter's voice is not heard. We have a system, we have an electoral college that prevents actual majority of the country from being able to weigh in. So we have this fail-safe that's actually keeping the fail-safe from happening.
Yeah, well, we have a fail-safe, but it's like a fail-safe is only as good as the people behind it that will use it. So, like, we have the 25th Amendment. And, like,
and Mitch McConnell, and both of those don't work together.
Right, exactly. Mitch McConnell's not a fan of fail-safe.
He's a fucking terrible human.
He's just a fail.
That's true.
But I think also blaming voters kind of, like, eliminates all the systematic oppression that people are experiencing day-to-day in terms of, like, can they get to the polls? Are they getting the right information?
But that's why I'm saying, like we should be able to... We should just have it be simple majority, then. If that's the case, then we could, in New York, get other... We could, in these liberal places, get more people to vote. Like, it doesn't matter if we get more people to vote here because there's the Electoral College and our vote doesn't count as much as someone in Indiana or whatever. You know? Anyway, that's I think if you're saying that the voters are the true accountability, then we need to get rid of all these fucking terrible things and just have the voters speak. And if that were the case, we wouldn't have had Donald Trump. Right? Right, guys?
Everyone in here loves Trump.
Guys, yeah, it feels
we
like
we should
a
have known
Trump
the East Village.
Crowd. Always. But no, I, what Charlie was talking about with the New York Times, I'm sort of frustrated with the media releasing these anonymous sources that say, I'm not going to put my name or face on this, but Trump is bad. Or I'm not going to put my name on face or this, but I saw so-and-so say this thing. Because I feel like already people don't trust the media. And so unless we have like hardcore facts or people willing to go on the record, I sort of feel like this story is saying that people at the White House think he's a fucking crazy person, but without saying who those people are, I don't think it's helping the situation.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree. There are way too many anonymous sources being used by everybody. Now, every
can you talk to your bosses?
Yeah, yeah.
Let them know that we all got drunk and we agreed that that was a bad thing.
I will just say I write for the culture section, and I wrote a great piece about the SpongeBob SquarePants musical, and I did not use any anonymous sources. Like, I
was like, so Pan, like, I like this musical, but don't put my name on it.
Off the record, the second act was a little slow. Okay, yeah. That's deep background, all right?
Like, if I ever use an anonymous source in a story, like, something went terribly wrong. But I did cover the campaign, and every news outlet has a different standard for anonymous sourcing. And the Times standard is, believe it or not, I mean, and I say this as we did the anonymous op-ed, which I had nothing to do with.
But, like, who was it?
Like, I don't...
You know who it was. Everybody...
I will say, okay, here's what I will say. I will say that when the op-ed published, there was an audible gasp in the newsroom. Like, what is happening right now?
So
and then everybody forgot
tense.
About it in, like, a week. Like, that... The op-ed, in theory, a high-level Trump administration official took to the pages of the New York Times and wrote this... op-ed saying that the president, they thought about the 25th Amendment, he's unstable, he's this and that. And then we stopped talking about it like a week ago. And the op-ed was like 2 weeks ago.
It was 2 weeks ago? It feels like it was like last year.
Right. I woke up 30 years old. I'm 50. You know, like, there's like, it's crazy to me how fast the news cycle Like, we're going to do this Rod Rosenstein thing, whatever, on Thursday again when they meet, when he meets with the president. We're going through this again on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just crazy how fast news is. Like, and as a result of that, I think a lot of news organizations have to, because of the amount of outlets, because of the, you know, thirst for clicks and the thirst for ratings and whatnot, any morsel of scoopiness that you can get, they'll take that and run with it. And that's why you see that so many anonymous sources proliferating around. I mean, I that's really what it comes down to.
I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like with this, like, scoopiness you're talking about and this desire to, like, get some sort of edge or, like, new information on the story, I just keep seeing parallels with the Me Too movement where it's like, oh, this person was an abuser, whatever, we're getting all this information, and then next thing you know, they're feeding out misinformation about Kavanaugh or whoever. They're trying to get ahead of the story, trying to go to other outlets and give them wrong information. It feels like the same thing is happening with this Rosenstein thing. It's just like, who's interviewing who? What is happening here? It's just like a lot of people talking shit.
Right. Well, remember that anonymous sources do have some value, depending on if they're properly vetted and if they're used correctly. If you look at the Me Too movement, I mean, you know, Harvey Weinstein, you know, Mark Halperin, who was the commentator.
They have value, sure.
I'm saying that several of the accusations have come from anonymous sources.
But now we're in this place where it doesn't matter what you say, Trump will say fake news, fake news, fake news, and every single person that follows him and loves him will say fake news, fake news, fake news. So if you just continue to have anonymous sources saying the same shit that we already know, you know, like, he's crazy.
But he'll say fake news even when they're on the record.
Sure, I don't understand what these anonymous sources are adding to anything. Anonymous sources that said that, you know, Rod Rosenstein wants to get rid of Trump. Like, all right. Well, Rod Rosenstein said he didn't say that, so.
Do you guys think Rod's going to get fired on Thursday?
I will say that Trump never fires people in person.
Right. He was in New York today.
Because he has no fucking balls.
He always has someone else do
it. Or he's all balls, according to Stormy Daniels.
All right, let's talk about Toad real quick. We got that's the real elephant
story,
in the room.
That was 3 years ago. That story was 3 years
it's
ago.
Still
today.
Top of my mind.
Yeah.
So for those that don't know, Stormy Daniels has a new book coming out, and she revealed what Trump's dick looks like. And she said it looks like the mushroom character from Mario Kart, which I feel like her editor should have pushed back and said, let's do a little bit of research and say the name of the character and not just the mushroom character from Mario Kart. She's talking about Toad. Toad is a short little squat man with a big old mushroom head. So just so everybody has that in their mind, Trump's got a little dick, but the head is really big.
And it's got red. It's got white spots on the
end. It's white and red polka dot on it. Anyway, I just wanted to get that out there.
Delivering the hard news. We really appreciate that.
No, but it is amazing that, you know, that was less than a week ago that we were given a very graphic, specific, and hilarious depiction of the president's genitalia.
Wait, was that actually a week ago?
I think it was about a week ago. I'm so surprised Trump did not respond to that. Remember during the debate?
Yeah.
He was like, no problem there. Like, I'm surprised he didn't, like, he didn't just, like, allude to the fact that, like, clearly he read that story.
But Marco Rubio hadn't seen his dick, right?
Right. So what was it? Marco Rubio was like,
you have small hands, you know what that means.
Can you imagine being in your 70s and still caring about your dick size? Seriously?
If it looked like Toad from the Mario universe, yes. I would think about my dick every day if it looked like Toad. And if you don't agree, you need to go look at what Toad looks like.
That's true. I actually feel very lucky that your penis doesn't look like Toad, too.
No, I've got a nice Luigi.
What? Oh, God, I'm never going to be able to play video games again. I don't even know what Luigi looks like. I'll have to look that up. Should we be talking about president's dicks?
I think we should. No, I don't think we. I don't think we. I don't think we need to.
All right. Speaking of dicks, Brett Kavanaugh is been nominated for the Supreme Court, and curious to hear the panel's take on everything that's gone down here. Right now, Brett Kavanaugh is on Fox News. Apparently, there was a clip of the interview that had been leaked, and he said that he was a virgin in high school and also a virgin several years after high school.
Right. With his wife sitting like right next to him.
With his wife sitting next to him.
And she's like, mm-hmm, yes.
obviously,
total virgin.
Being a virgin doesn't preclude you from sexually assaulting
yes,
somebody.
Yes, it does. If you're a virgin, you cannot sexually assault anyone.
Or taking your dick out and putting it in somebody's face.
Doesn't count until you've had penetrative sex.
Right. So, do you guys think? Do you think that we're gonna? What did McConnell say? Jam it through? Do you think we're gonna? Do you think
everything
gonna,
sounds like a sexual innuendo.
I think it was.
Do you
plow
think Kavanaugh's gonna
plow it through? Plow it through.
He wants to plow it through.
Yeah. Do you think the GOP is going to plow this through, or is it all unwinding?
I mean, here's the thing. We just don't know because there are other allegations that can come out before Thursday, right? We don't know what the hearings are actually going to be like. We just don't know because the hearings are going to be on television. All this news cycle is so unpredictable, right? It's unprecedented. Every single thing has never happened before. I mean, that's not true. Obviously, with Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill, this has happened before. What I mean is the speed of the news cycle. I mean, we might not be talking about this by Friday. Something else might happen. It's the UNGA this week. And we might just be talking about something else entirely. And we just don't know.
Well, I feel like what's getting lost in this is Stormy Daniels' lawyer, Avenatti. Is that how you pronounce? I don't know how to pronounce any of these people's names. It's the internet age. I read everything. I don't ever listen to
He's just
the
Michael
news.
To me.
Is it Avenatti, Rosenstein, Avenatti Stein? I don't know.
So he's claiming now that Kavanaugh has a reputation for gang raping women at parties in college, I believe. Him and his friends supposedly would target drunk women or try to get them drunk or something and get these out of it women and then just like he used the words like run a train on these women, and it's horrible, but I think given what we've seen in the news, it's like totally believable at this point that this has happened. And it's like, I think we need to stop acting like these things are coincidences, because it's not a coincidence that someone they're trying to nominate to the Supreme Court to pass laws to control women's bodies has this type of attitude towards women's bodies. It's like,
it's also, they nominated a frat boy from the 80s to be on the fucking Supreme Court. Yeah. Guys, they nominated the mean guy from every 80s movie. The mean blonde guy named Brett from every fucking 80s movie.
Yeah.
The extra mean one who acts like he gets laid, but he's actually never been
he's
laid.
Like, yeah.
So it's extra aggro.
That's who they nominated to the Supreme Court, and they're like, this is ridiculous. He shouldn't be held to account for what
also,
he did when
I
he was
have
in
to
college.
Say, it's a time
His
in media.
His name is Brett. His name is Brett. Guys, I don't need any evidence. His name is Brett.
Supreme also, Court Justice Brett.
It's a time in history.
Eminem's Brett.
Justice Brett.
Done.
It's like what they called him in high school.
Who needs
it's
a hearing?
It's Justice Brett.
Thank you. This is what I actually want to run for Senate so I can be the first, like, Cody. This is Senator Cody.
I want more stoners in office, honestly.
I don't even smoke
less
pot,
frat boys, just more stoners.
Yes.
I think, look, I hope Justice Brett does not get confirmed. Personally, I think it's going to be very bad in the Supreme Court. But, like, if you think about the Republican nomination process, like, they all finally got behind Trump because of a few things, because of, like, tax cuts and the Supreme Court. They got their stupid tax cuts.
Well, they also didn't have a choice.
Right. But, like, fine, this guy's insane. We know he's crazy, but we'll support him to get the presidency because maybe he'll pass tax cuts. Maybe we can get a Supreme Court nominee or a justice on the bench. They've got one, now they've got two. So I think no matter what comes out, all these Republicans are just trying to plow it through because, like, that's the best they're going to get from Trump. What?
Also, Trump is loved by Republicans, is the thing. He's got a really high approval rating. It's not like these lawmakers are just like, okay, well, let's get taxed. No, they're looking at the poll numbers just like everybody else.
And they think he's funny. Like, honestly, like, Republican men are sort of take everything
Graham.
He says with a grain of salt.
Seriously, look at Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham went from he's a bigot, he's a xenophobe, he's crazy. If Trump wins the nomination, our party is doomed. To now being one of his top allies.
Yeah.
That's if you told Lindsey Graham that 2 years ago, he would have laughed in your face. And
but
now he's like,
that's the polls in the state of South Carolina.
It's a whole bunch of things. You know, it may be a political calculation of, okay, I can't get anything by Trump if I'm constantly out there in the press criticizing him, so I'll just work with him. But there's no evidence that's actually gone anywhere.
Yeah,
Beth, I have a question for you. So as white women, we are both very white women. You can't tell that on the podcast because...
But the audience can tell
the
we're
audience
so
can
white.
Tell we're very white. We're super white. I feel like white women are going to fuck this up again, right? Like, we're the ones... If Brett Kavanaugh gets nominated, which I have every... I believe that he will. I don't think that anything's going to stop him.
I want to believe that he's not, but I will tell you, I saw that clip of the CNN interview they did with like some random average white women to be like, "What? How do these women feel?" And it's just like, so many women have been conditioned so hard into such self-doubting, internalized sexism of like, I got groped in the 80s and I didn't say anything because people, they're like, it's just this.
It happened to me. Get over it.
Yeah. Like,
you know?
Well, I'm someone who has big boobs and people have said things to me and I got over it. So why can't blah, blah, blah. It's just like so, on and on and on. So many things drilled into our heads throughout our entire lives to condition us to not question the horrible circumstances under which we live. Anyway, I think a lot of these women are completely brainwashed by Fox News. So it's like, you can't rationalize with them. They've been getting a stream of steady lies for years now.
And that CNN interview, it wasn't with a bunch of random Republican voters, which they didn't reveal on the show. It ended up being, I think, two or three of them had run for office. One of them worked for Ted Cruz's campaign. They were...
Well, Ted Cruz, we'll get to him later.
like, they were Republican operatives.
Really?
Yeah, they were, and they didn't disclose that on the show.
Oh, interesting.
And they were not some random, like, oh, you are you a Republican? Come on
our
show.
I feel like a lot of conversations I have with white women, and I will say, I am a white woman, guys, I am.
We suck.
I'm
we
also
suck.
The mom of two boys, and Beth has a son. I also think it's this thing of, like, well, we are also expected to raise... our generation of white women is also expected to, we learn everything from our parents, right? And we're also, we're dealing with all this internalized misogyny that we're also now supposed to be teaching our sons and daughters to not be misogynist too, but we are dealing with all this shit on our own.
Yeah.
It's like this like constant cycle.
Well, I
that's
think
hard
also
to break.
When it comes to politics, so many women's like lives and their well-being is wrapped up in the financial circumstances of their husbands' jobs. Still in this country, a lot of women, like, we still don't get the same, you know, we don't have the same kind of salaries as our husbands. We're still very dependent on them. It's just more, it makes more logistical sense, I think, for a lot of women to vote in their husbands' interests. And I think we're still, a lot of women are just still acting on that script.
I mean, I always vote for, like, anyone who supports bike lanes, because my husband loves to city bike. And
I'm with you guys.
Super important to my family that my husband city bikes and is happy. You know what I mean?
I'm familiar with the Streets Pack election guide.
Oh, I'm not. I should be familiar with that. I mean, I'm a transportation alternatives member.
Oh, TransAlt, sick.
Yeah.
Cool.
My wife uses bike lanes as much as
I do.
Anyway,
so we do think white women are going to ruin it. Cool. Like, women, let's ruin everything.
To the mothers in the group here, you know, you teach your kids to treat people well, treat people with respect, and treat people.
Sometimes.
Sure, in theory, right? And your kid says, "Well, what about President Trump? He became president, treating people a certain way." What do you say? What's your answer to that?
Well,
I can become president if I.
We're lucky because our kids are young, and so they don't really understand yet, and I obviously do not let him watch the news.
But let's assume that in a couple years you start having those conversations.
Yeah, it's hard. We've started to have some hard conversations with our son about stuff where we have to, like, you know, he's at the point now where he's like, so-and-so was mean to me. Why were they mean to me? You know what I mean? Like, and you have to sort of be like, yeah, people are mean sometimes, or people... think like our son saw the giant inflatable rat outside of a building and was just like, it's a rat, isn't that funny? And then I had to explain to him about unions and how these corporations.
How did that go?
We've talked about this in the podcast.
I think
before.
He understands that T-Mobile needs to raise their hourly wages for their hourly employees.
I basically clearly. Say that like corporations sometimes only think about money, but they need to think about how they treat people.
Perfect.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah,
really
I often...
That's actually very... Good.
It's perfect. Wow.
Wow. Yeah,
I disclose way too much to my son. He's very confused a lot of times. But, you know, maybe one day it'll work out. Who knows?
One thing I want to say about Kavanaugh, though, is I think the situation that we're in now is, I guess, maybe on Thursday we're going to have a hearing and we'll hear from Christine Blasey Ford and from
There's
Hammond.
A lot of
and,
shit happening on Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday's real busy. But all of the sexual assault... It sort of seems like his nomination now rides on whether or not you believe he's a sexual assaulter or was a sexual assaulter in the 80s or not. And just before all this, he was still terrible. Like, I feel like we've just forgotten the fact that he, like, told a 17-year-old in custody that she couldn't have an abortion.
Yep.
And that he, you know, lied under oath a number of times and is just an awful, horrible person.
It is amazing. And I've been thinking about this a lot. Like, okay, we're the judicial committee is voting on someone to be a judge and they don't want to hear evidence. Like, these cases are coming before them with Christine Blasey Ford, this piece through Jay Mayer and Ronan Farrow at The New Yorker. And everyone's just, all these Republicans are trying to just, like, push these things away. And it's like, you are the judicial committee. Take the evidence and make an assessment based on the evidence. Don't push, don't, like, push away the evidence. Don't push away an FBI investigation.
The Anita Hill hearing took, or investigation took 3 days.
Yeah. The FBI investigation, yeah.
And, like, this idea that they need to rush it. Merrick Garland sat for months, and then suddenly we need this guy rushed, plowed through.
But they were trying to rush it because they knew more allegations were coming out, right?
Totally.
That's like,
which is the most disgusting thing, right?
Yeah.
Is that these allegations that came out last night, apparently a lot of the Republicans knew about it a week ago when they were trying to plow it through.
And to think that, like, if he, if slash when he gets, you know, approved or whatever, and he's on the Supreme Court, we'll have two sexual predators, like known sexual predators, on the Supreme Court deciding things about women's bodies.
But I think if we knew the actual statistics, it would be like half the men in government.
And
like
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that girl has done some fucking shit in her day. She was groped by Abraham Lincoln.
Set of South Carolina.
Was it South Carolina?
She just smiled and moved
along.
I'm
sorry, Charlie. Your state sucks.
I know.
It's always someone from South Carolina telling a very terrible joke.
I want to talk about local politics a little bit because since our last show, we had our primary election here in New York. And Henry, I know you know a lot about local politics, so I'm curious how everybody in general feels about the results of the primary. I voted for Cynthia Nixon. Everybody I voted for didn't win. I voted for Cynthia Nixon, and I voted for Jermaine Williams, and I voted for Zephyr Teachout, so I was 0 for 3. But I think like the good news was that the IDC, the Independent Democratic Caucus, which is these Democrats who caucus with the Republicans, are mostly seem like they're getting broken up. Or are you optimistic, Henry?
Yeah, there was, I think, 6 out of the 8 IDC challengers won their race, and Cuomo, quote unquote, like disbanded the IDC, the Independent Democratic Conference, a few months ago after Cynthia Nixon kind of called it out. The IDC was this group of like breakaway Democrats that essentially caucused with Republicans in the state Senate, which meant we essentially had a Republican state Senate in New York, which is insane.
But how did our Democratic governor for like 7 years get away with just letting that be a thing?
So it's really interesting. I think Cuomo just like in his soul is probably a more moderate Democrat than most Democrats are, most like progressive Democrats today. And also he was thinking about running for president and he wanted to kind of like toe the line, and all the reporting is that he didn't want really liberal bills to come across his desk, so then he was going to be this far-left Democratic governor. If you have a Republican Congress, you have to compromise, and you can have this kind of like moderate Democrat that can now run for president. Obviously, 2020 is different, and now we want very progressive Democrats to run, so the politics have changed.
It's a big miscalculation on his part.
Totally, and then Cynthia Nixon runs. He's like, I am a progressive champion. It's like, no, you're not. Give me a break. Like, he wanted to support legalizing marijuana like a few days after Cynthia Nixon supported it. He moved left on every single issue essentially that she presented.
Which is really the success of Cynthia Nixon's candidacy. Even though she didn't win, she at least got him to say these things.
Right.
And I'm hoping that you know, maybe January 1 we're going to get legal weed in the state.
Yeah, I'm curious to see like what actually happens because he said all these things. It'll be interesting to see what he does with this new kind of more progressive state Senate. Maybe they'll be able to push some more Democratic policy, more like progressive policies through, but I don't know. I was surprised Cynthia Nixon got exactly the same vote turnout as Zephyr Teachout when she ran 4 years ago. It was like,
oh, really? It was
she got more votes than Zephyr Teachout, so more people voted, but it was still like 34%. And
it's also felt like, it also felt like she got outsized media attention given the results.
Well,
yeah. Oh, for sure.
I mean, she got the attention, she got the media attention that like Beto O'Rourke is getting in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, and there was, I don't think there was ever any real indication that the candidacy was catching on in the way that it seemed.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, basically, it was like, oh, she's running? Like, when she started, when she announced, it was very late in the game. And
I do wonder if it's because of, you know, the acting celebrity.
Yeah, she's a celebrity, but also, I guess, in light of, like, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, like, there was this movement of, like, these surprise wins from, you know, super super liberal candidates.
Yeah, I think,
so I think we were all kind of holding on a little bit of hope.
Yeah, I think we were holding out hope. I think running in a state is much harder than running in a small district. And Cuomo just has so much money and so much kind of institutional
and
power.
And I think we realize that so many people are not a Miranda, you know?
That's right. That's right.
It's hard because most people think of themselves as a Carrie, and Cuomo's definitely a Carrie.
Well, I think they were also saying in the wake of her election, that or non-election, that we can't trust this online celebrity. There has to be boots on the ground. There has to be people knocking on doors. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, like, you can't track, like, a Twitter trend with actual election results. And we all need to be getting out there and helping out on these things.
Yeah. Also, she was.
I'm not into that.
Wait, what's the fun in that?
Boring. I don't want a phone bank. Just kidding, guys. Do it.
It is interesting, though, that, like, I think about this. Like, so Cynthia Nixon ran, and she was not part of the political establishment in New York politics, except for Teachout, who ran for attorney general. She ran against Cuomo for governor in 2014. She was a professor. Like, there is. It is amazing how much power Andrew Cuomo holds in New York. Like, there's
Doesn't everybody kind of hate him? I mean, he sort of sucks.
Oh, like, he's like surrounded by corruption scandals.
But it's also just, it speaks to this idea that, like, party identity is such a thing. People are like, I know the Cuomos. I've been voting for Cuomos since
his dad.
Yeah, I'm a Democrat.
Brothers on CNN.
Democrats do the Democrat thing.
The most liberal city in the country.
But New York City is not the state.
Yeah.
I know, but we deserve a liberal government. I mean, it was looking at the map of, like, who voted for who, it was, like, so similar to the map of, like, Trump-Hillary. Just, like, all of, like, the areas of Staten Island that voted for Cynthia Nixon were the same parts of Staten Island that voted for Hillary.
One super, super small pocket of Staten Island.
Within a two-minute walk from the ferry is who voted for Hillary. And
where there's,
who
like, one high-rise tower and that voted for...
I think, like, one great takeaway of the Cynthia Nixon campaign is that, like, sure, she moved Cuomo left on a lot of issues, and we'll see, like, what the State Assembly does on any of these issues. But I think
there's a general election first. We all have to go vote for these people.
Oh, yeah, Andrew Cuomo is up for re-election.
Blah, blah, blah. No, if you're not registered as a Democrat in New York, just fucking jump off a bridge.
But I'm saying we still have to vote for these Assembly candidates.
No, don't.
Yeah, exactly. Really right, they've got to win their general election. But, like, I think Cynthia Nixon did a great job of exposing that New York State is not that liberal. On some, like, we don't have early voting, which is insane.
Yeah, this is, I mean, one of my pet peeves about, like, liberal white people is that it's like we like poo-poo Republicans as if we're like so have so much moral high ground, and then our party has like many of the same trappings of like just electing men, just having each other's backs and not bringing in new blood, and you try to run a woman and like no one is there for her in terms of the party support and the money and blah blah blah. It's just like there's all of these systems in place of people pulling strings for each other, and it's just like it's every because industry.
But it comes down to the fact that for forever, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party were the same fucking thing. It was politics. It was like, you had to have money, you had to be a white, middle-of-the-road dude, and you ran, and that was it. And the Republican Party slowly over time moved right, and the Democratic Party slowly over time also moved right. And then now we were all like, wait a minute, where the rest of us actually aren't going there. Where do the rest of us fit in? Where are young people? Where are women? Where are minorities? Where are the people that are represented? And so now we're trying to figure out a way to make it actually represent people. And I don't know.
Well,
if that's possible.
I have to say, just a brag coming off this election, my sister was co-managing a campaign for Mathilde Frontis for New York State Assembly in a district that comprises Coney Island and that part of Brooklyn. And the results are finally in. They won by 55 votes. Wow. Very close call. Very like low budget campaign.
Come on,
my sister.
Clap. This is great.
Thank you. My sister co-managing the campaign was knocking on doors all over the place, doing all these things that the manager of a campaign shouldn't have to do, but she did. And I'm so proud. And I think this is how we're gonna do it. You know, baby steps. We have to like take
control.
And we
can make some real progress in local elections and smaller districts and stuff, and I think that's really great. I wanted to bring up, we discussed Beto O'Rourke earlier, so I kind of want to bring up, do we think that he has a chance to win the Senate seat in Texas, and is Ted Cruz the most unlikable person in politics? If he wins, is he going to be literally like the least likable person to ever win? Are people just like...
I will take the second part of that question, which is, I just remember Lindsey Graham during the 2016 campaign. He said this amazing joke, or I don't think he was joking, but it was something like, if Ted Cruz was shot on the Senate floor and they could get away with it, they would do it. I'm paraphrasing.
I think it was something about how nobody would like help.
Yeah, nobody would call the cops. Right?
If there was a trial on the Senate floor, no one would be convicted.
Yeah, right. That's what it was. That's right. And that's a Republican. That's not like That's a guy that's in the same caucus.
Ted Cruz.
Do Texans like him?
No.
Wait, what was the Al Franken?
Not a huge popularity.
What was the Al Franken joke they wrote in his book recently? It was like something. I hate Ted Cruz the least, and I really hate Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Now. Of course, I think Ted Cruz got the last laugh in the Al Franken beef. But
right.
His wife and kids don't really look like they like him either. He's just
well, remember that? Remember, yeah.
That actually was a thing.
This was the best.
During the campaign,
the best.
Ted Cruz was holding, I want to say, was it a daughter? It was his daughter.
Yeah.
And then
Catherine or Caroline, one of the two.
She kept flicking him in the face. And then I remember driving through like Iowa and pro-Trump radio hosts are like, his daughters don't like him. You can't vote for him. Lying Ted Cruz, his daughters think he's a liar. And it's like, I mean, it was like
his 10-year-old daughter thinks he's a piece of fucking shit.
And then the news broke that his wife was ugly, right? Remember when Trump broke that news?
Yeah. And now Trump is going to Texas to rally voters.
Trump would come out, right? And we'd be at a rally of.
For those who don't know, Sopan was like the CBS News correspondent following Trump the entire, all of 2016, right?
Right. And that's why I don't do it anymore.
That's why you write about SpongeBob SquarePants. Yeah.
But we'd be in a rally of like 15,000 people, and Trump would say the words Ted Cruz, and everyone would start chanting, "Lying Ted, lying Ted." And then Trump would say, "Holds the Bible high, puts it down," and the crowd would yell, "That he lies!" And it's like no other opposing candidate got that much like vitriol. And this was in a primary, a Republican primary. It was stunning.
You know what? I'm interested to know what people hate about him. I think it's just he literally represents everything that's wrong with politics because it's like he has no fucking backbone. He has no beliefs. Like I feel like he's just like
he also looks like a villain.
He does. He looks like somebody posted a picture of Ed Grimley, and it was also this is on Twitter, guys. So I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm drunk and I can't accurately say who did this, but it was Ed Grimley with his like pants up, and it was a picture of him and also Ted Cruz with his pants up and like a plaid shirt, and they looked the same.
There was this.
He's a nerd. He's a nerd. Huge nerd. Well, like, loves Campbell soup.
So there was the first debate between Beto and Ted Cruz last Friday night, and
I haven't seen any clips of that. Was that
you haven't? Oh,
yeah, it was pretty interesting. I'm like obsessed with Beto O'Rourke. I think he's a fantastic candidate.
And what the fuck is his name, Beto? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Apparently, it's a nickname Irish for Robert. Nickname. Who knew?
Yeah.
Go on.
So I was like live streaming the debate as I was walking from a bar to a movie theater, like on my phone, watching, which is
nerd.
Dumb. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So at the end of the debate, they asked that classic question, which is like, say something nice about your opponent. Which is like, what? Okay, fine. And Beto says this nice thing about like Ted Cruz, and then
What? You're bearing the lead there. What's the nice thing to say about Ted Cruz?
Just like, said that he was like had the courage of his convictions, worked hard or whatever.
It's hard being a senator, you're away from your family, and like a very political answer. And then Ted Cruz starts to give an answer, and he's like, you know, I agree. Like Beto's a good family man. He has a lot of passion for this race. He's he has courage of his convictions. I disagree with him on everything. But, you know, he deeply believes what he believes. You know, I used to debate Bernie Sanders, and he's a socialist, and he believes in socialism, and he believes in higher taxes, and he believes in doing all these terrible things, and then he can't help himself from just stopping, and then he just says all these things about, you know, Bernie Sanders believes he wants to raise your taxes and do all this stuff, and then he just keeps going on and on and on, and then at the last word of the debate, Beto O'Rourke just goes, all right, true to form. Which is like true to form is like the most perfect button on that.
And then let's talk about what Beto O'Rourke did after the debate, which is he went to Whataburger, and when he was in the drive-thru line, he air drummed to what was it, Bob O'Reilly?
The Who.
Bob O'Reilly, yeah.
Amazing club.
It is I'm a huge Beto O'Rourke fan, but I feel like it is this funny thing where
the young vote thing. Yeah.
Beto O'Rourke like drums to The Who in his car, and it was like the cover of Huffington Post. It was everywhere, and it's like, all right, he is great, but like I think we kind of like bring it back a little bit.
But
like,
Ted Cruz feeds into that because he keeps trying to villainize him and being like, look how crazy this guy is. He wore a dress, and then it's a picture of like young hot Beto
he was in a band,
and it's and it's like, oh, look at him speaking out against police brutality, this nutbag. And everyone's like, no, this is very inspirational, we love this. Like
I feel like I'm gonna be heartbroken because I wasn't watching the debate on my phone walking to a bar, but
oh man, you should have have been seeing it live.
But I think Ben is amazing, and I'm constantly impressed by him. And I'm just like, I don't think it's going to be a successful midterm unless he wins.
It's Texas. I mean, I know. Right? Come on. It's, I mean, it's a real upward battle.
There are a couple precedents, right? There is the Wendy Davis precedent. And Wendy Davis got a lot of positive press when she ran in Texas and then got trounced. There was Allison Grimes in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. People thought she was a legitimate threat to Mitch McConnell. That didn't end up coming to fruition. But the flip side of that is in the same election point in 2010, Scott Brown versus Martha Coakley in Massachusetts. And Martha Coakley was up by like 60 points in very liberal Massachusetts. And then Scott Brown drove his pickup truck around Massachusetts. And that was his thing. He always said, I drive a pickup truck. And and this is to replace Ted Kennedy, who had died. And he beat Martha Coakley in a stunner in Massachusetts. So there are wildly divergent paths here. But I do wonder if this is like a Cynthia Nixon thing where he's getting a lot of fawning press
nationally.
But the
polls are closer for him. Every poll at Cynthia Nixon down 40, and everyone's like, well, the polls are insane. And it's like, okay, polling is hard. But like at 40 points, you got to be like, it's hard.
And also, I think...
it's a lot of big gap.
It's hard to say it's a win, even if he loses, but he's doing really well in a state that we are very polarized by party right now, and he's doing very well in a state that is very severely Republican.
By running a really progressive campaign. He wants to ban AR-15s, legalize marijuana, Medicare for all. I mean, he's running a very progressive campaign.
And we view winning as a very black and white thing. Right,
so it should be. I'm sick of moral victories. I'm like, come on.
But Peter Hamby, who wrote a piece in Vanity Fair about saying, why can't Beto run for president even if he loses in 2018? And I thought that was really interesting. Why can't he?
He should.
Okay, well, I guess that's why even read the Vanity Fair then? Okay, all right.
I say no because I don't want any fucking more men. I don't care if you're progressive. I don't give a fuck.
I would love to see you guys answer that question just as enthusiastically about Cynthia Nixon.
What's that?
Just to see a woman with no experience run for presidency.
Well, he is a congressman.
I know, but I feel like when it comes to women, I always hear liberal men be like, experience. And then when it's a man, everyone's like, let's give him a chance. Let's just give him a chance.
Oh, he's so inspirational. I'm like, because he looks like every politician you've thought of loving before, like a Kennedy or whatever, but he likes The Who. You know what I mean? Whereas like a woman, you're like, she doesn't quite look like the one that I've thought about.
She likes The Who in a weird way.
Yeah, it's like she's trying too hard to like The Who because like who really likes The Who? No, I mean, listen, Beto O'Rourke's great, but just in general, I'm like, this goes back to raising sons, like, or raising daughters. Like, I just imagine just like going into your like elementary school and just seeing every fucking person in the president, like the picture of the presidents, and they're all men. They're all white men.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it.
We can all imagine it because we've all done it.
Oh,
what's wrong?
Thank you.
A lot.
I'm raising two of them, and I fucking hate them.
They keep raping us. They keep raping everyone.
To be honest, I have a okay. Is it wrong to be white? No, except I do have a white son that's keeping me up all night right now, and it's really frustrating.
I don't know if podcast listeners know that someone from the audience just shouted out, what's wrong with white men?
Okay, I will. Actually, I do want to respond to this because I make jokes a lot about white men, and I have some white men in my life. I have a lot of white men in my life.
Can I just say quickly that man didn't shout anything out when we were trashing white women? Didn't have a second thought about it.
No, but I do want to say...
That's what's wrong with white men.
I do want to say that, okay, I don't hate white men, and white men exist in our lives, and I love three of them. I'm married to one, and I'm raising two. And they do have the right to have a voice, and sometimes women are frustrated. We're frustrated. We're at the end of our rope.
Well, wait a minute. Fuck that. The question was, our elementary school students have to go to school and see 45 white men in a row, and the response is, what's wrong with white men? It's because it's time for a fucking change. It's time to give somebody else a chance.
Thank you.
And me as a white man can recognize that, and if you can't recognize that, wake the fuck up.
So is that why you married Cody?
And my husband told you what's up, and he's a white man. No, but I... I understand white men are fragile, and sometimes they're part of the reason we're in this mess right now is because a lot of white men feel threatened. They do, and they need to be maybe need their hands held and say it's okay when the women take over, which we will one day, I promise. We won't keep you in a cage the way you've kept us in cages, and we won't rape you the way you've raped us. And you know, we're gonna be nice to you, and we're still gonna give you health insurance, and we're still gonna love you. So that's what I want to say to white men.
Yeah.
We are going to treat you better than you've treated us. And we will take over the world one day.
I hear you and I agree.
So, Pan, you're not a white man. Did you have something to say?
Am I good?
We have a special place for men of color.
Please answer for people of color as well as the New York Times.
Yeah, as the person representing all of the media and all of diversity here on stage tonight, so bad. All right, well, we have a little bit of time left in the show. I always like to talk about my pet local issue when we're almost out of time, which is transit. And Henry, I think I might have an ally here with you, but today
let's talk protected bike lanes.
Today,
let's do it, guys.
Today is a gridlock day in New York.
And gridlock alert.
Every day this week is a gridlock day, and Monday as well. And speaking of, we Sam Gridlock Schwartz is interested in being on the show. We were just trying to
Gridlock
find
Sam?
Gridlock Sam, the guy who invented the term gridlock. We're trying to get him on the show. He wants to do it. He was not available this month, but hopefully
that's
soon.
That's a get.
So
the two guys are like, oh, Gridlock Sam, yes.
But no, so traffic isn't completely insane this week. It's insane almost every day. The subways are not working. Cynthia Nixon, you know, brought this issue up. Do we feel like Cuomo is going to pay more attention to this now after this primary? We have a mayor who takes an SUV from Manhattan to Brooklyn to work out.
Like a couple SUVs.
He takes a caravan of SUVs to go to Brooklyn so he can get in a stationary bicycle indoors at the Park Slope YMCA.
Has he heard
YMCA.
Of Peloton?
Wouldn't you though?
We're not
like if you had a
Peloton,
if you had like SUVs at your disposal to take you to the gym. Would you not take them?
No, I would not take that. It defeats the whole fucking point of working out.
I don't work out and it's across the fucking street. I'm not going to get in a fucking van and have them drive me. No, thank you.
If I was the mayor and I wanted to ride a stationary bike, I would say, hey, can you buy a stationary bike and put it in Gracie Mansion so I can
Peloton.
Just walk to it? What is Peloton?
That's somebody who's trying to avoid his family.
It's what Peloton like sponsors every podcast but ours. We don't have any sponsors, but we should. Peloton is a stationary bike, and you get it, and it's like personalized spin classes.
It's very pricey.
I'm a new adopter. I don't. There's one at the gym I go to. It's great.
So,
yeah,
I don't have
so there's a push this week. I think City Bike was offering like a discount today or this week, and there's a push from like the DOT to like get people to bike more. But the reason people aren't biking more is because we do not have enough protected bike lanes, and because the bike lanes that we do have constantly have cop cars and people with placards parked in them. And I don't know, Henry, as an ally here, do you think that we're moving in the right direction? We don't have, Janet Sadikhan is gone, and Polly Trottenberg seems to be okay. I just feel like we have a mayor who doesn't get transit, a governor who's building bridges on top of bridges that are going to fall down on bridges. The governor has all these vanity projects where we're going to make LaGuardia good by making public transit that makes you go halfway to Long Island and back to get there. But I don't know. What do you think about the state of the bike lane?
Oh, man, this is my favorite topic. How much time do we have? I don't know. I think if you look at DOT numbers, which I've read the PDFs, we've all read the PDFs, you are adding, the city is adding more protected bike lanes each year, which is great. You're talking about Christie Street. We're talking about the Second Avenue gap. Charlie, you know what I'm talking about here.
Sure.
But it is, okay, I will say, there is this weird dichotomy happening where you have Mayor de Blasio on the global stage giving these speeches about cities being greener, and cities can lead the way to be to reduce carbon emissions. But at the same time, we do not want to add protected bike lanes. We do not want to make it easier for people to get around the city without using cars. And that is just the ultimate split in how you kind of actually address these issues. So if you want to make cities greener, get people out of cars. You can cut down on carbon emissions. You can paint roofs white. You can do all these things. But there is such a fear in our political culture at cities to piss off drivers. And it's wild.
And so many of the statistics about the environment are like, if we could just have everyone not eat meat, you know, one day a week,
right.
Which, by the way, I'm a vegetarian, I support that. But if we could have everybody not eat meat one day a week, we would get 50,000 cars off the road. Hmm. But the other thing we could do is just get 50,000 cars off the road.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, I do read this stuff all the time, and it is crazy the fights people go to for avoiding, like, removing two parking spots. Like, our political culture is so crazy about this. Like, you want to add a protected bike lane in some street, and it's like, we're going to remove one parking spot, and then people lose their
fucking
shit.
Again, I think this goes back to similar to, like, why we have Cuomo, right? People are just used to the old way. Like, if you...
Right.
And a lot of our healthcare system is this way, our politics is this way, like mass transportation is this way. We're stuck in this old rut, this old way of thinking that it's like, you know, if you want to build a bike lane, you're taking away parking spaces and you're fighting for the road. And it's like, well, wait a second. Why can't pedestrians have like more space and bikers have more space and less space for car? Like, why are cars the most important thing in this situation? Or like, you know, it's just, you have to reframe your thinking. And once you reframe your thinking, you're like, oh yeah, it is a giant box, a giant steel box that a person owns that they think that they're allowed to be able to park on
that
the street
for free.
That will
go slower than bikes because there's so many of these steel boxes.
Right, like
everywhere.
I pay like, you know, $2,000 for a studio apartment, and yet I believe that I should have the right to park my giant you know, steel box for free on a street, and then a family has to like walk on a fucking strip the size of 2 inches. That doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense. I love how Cuomo though is trying to play like transit governor. The AirTran to LaGuardia, I don't know if you guys know about this. He's like proposed his AirTran to get to LaGuardia. To get it, you'd have to take the 7 to Mets Field.
Which is,
and then take an AirTran out to LaGuardia, which would
but
be
everyone
long.
Takes a 7 everywhere.
I mean, like, I take the 7. I want to stop by
time.
City Field.
I
like
get on a plane. I'm like at City Field first, watching a Mets game, and then I get on a plane.
Yeah, I watch a Mets game every morning, and then I go to work. But it is crazy. He's like playing like transit governor, and it's like it would actually take longer to take the subway out to City Field and then get the AirTran out to LaGuardia versus just like taking a bus.
We have an airport in the one of the biggest cities in the country that has no mass transportation to and from.
Also, there's been a leak in LaGuardia for like since I've lived in New York. There's like one ceiling panel that's been leaking for like 12 years.
Right near the Spirit Airlines.
Exactly. There's like a funnel with a bucket. It's like this one leak. It's like, figure it out. The people at Annie Ann's are like, oh, just can you take
you
care
You can
of
make
this?
Excellent cold brew from that leak.
Right.
No, but Cuomo has all these vanity projects of like, we're redesigning LaGuardia, we're going to turn the old post office into Penn Station, and these things are good. I like that we're doing these things. But if people can't fucking take the F train to into Manhattan reliably, and to me, and that's why cycling is the answer, is that if I'm getting from point A to point B on a city bike, it's the same amount of time every time I take it. It's reliable. And I think walking and biking are the only modes of transportation
that are reliable.
And
that is the great equalizer in terms of, like, you know, I love that people who are anti-bike are always like, these fucking white men, am I right, are obsessed with biking, and this is an elitist thing, right?
And Rena are both white, and only people really being obsessed
I'm
about it
I'm passionate
Rena.
About it, too.
You
but,
are.
But I think that, like, actually, it is a great equalizer because it's cheap. So if we could get, if we made it convenient and easy for everyone to be able to bike, more people would bike. Yeah. A lower class people would be able to bike to their jobs. They wouldn't have to be late all the time because of the subway. They wouldn't necessarily have to move like super, super, super far out. Or if they did, they could bike to the subway. You know, they're
and like delivery drivers too. Like, should people who deliver food, oftentimes immigrants, should be able to do that safely.
But I will say New York is a weird city because it doesn't tax its people very highly, so everything just falls apart. And like, I have moved to the suburbs because it's a barely livable city to have a family in, and Metro North runs like a dream because they're charging us an arm and a leg to use Metro North. But like, the subway system, they're just, we don't tax people here, and our education system is horrible, and it's just like, I don't know. At some point, I feel like New Yorkers need to like decide that they want to pay for shit or something. It's just a mess. Yeah.
Rich New Yorkers.
Rich New Yorkers, yes.
Well, I think we can end on rich white New Yorkers fucking
everything. I've never felt as brown as I did in that last 10 minutes or so.
All right. Guys,
so Ben's like, I have no desire to talk about fucking bike lanes.
Like, I have not ridden a bike since I was like 12. And
girl,
that was like,
get on the bike. Yeah. I ride the bike. I'm one of the women that they talk about riding the bikes now.
How do you
I
get
do
to
it.
Work? You take a train to work, so Ben?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I wish I could drive.
Yeah. You didn't want to bring up car. And actually, Beth gave birth in her car, so she understands the importance of cars. That's a story for another time.
Is that true?
That's true, but we don't have time to talk about it.
She tweeted at Honda, and you got a new car?
We got a free lease on a Honda CR-V. I gave birth in my sister's car and destroyed the back seat.
Guys, because women's bodies excrete a lot of fluid when you have a baby.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for our panel. Henry Melcher, Beth Newell, Sopan Deb. I'm Charlie Tide.
I'm Cody Lindquist.
Thank you guys for being here. Come to our next show. It'll be October 22nd at this theater.
And
don't forget to vote
in midterm elections. Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better when you do hear them. This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.